Good morning, everyone. Today is the 8th of February, 2020. And we are told, Scripture, blessed is thou. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Well, we also can see in Zechariah, 6th chapter, the 12th verse says, and speak unto them, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, a man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. The branch, speaking of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the builder of the temple. And he said, if you destroy this temple, I'll raise it in 3 days. Speaking of his own body. Jesus Christ is the builder of the temple of the Lord. There's a lot of talk about rebuilding a temple over there in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ is not behind that mission. He is the temple. And we are told there will be no temple in heaven. We're told that he is the temple himself. Welcome aboard Nasir Beer. Glad to have you with us this morning. You know, Zechariah foretold of the coming of the righteous branch that would be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Here we have an example of Christ's mediatorship. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. We don't need a temple to go to. We don't need a priest, but Jesus Christ is our priest, our mediator. And so it's good to know that when everybody is trying to advocate, God bless you too, brother, when everyone is trying to advocate the statehood of Israel, that is a wicked, it's not a holy city. There's a wicked, wicked city. They blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ, promoted homosexuality. They have murdered thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of Palestinians. All in the name of a false god. A god based upon oral traditions, the Talmud and the Kabbalah. And we have another place on the face of this earth they call a holy city. What is that? Vatican in Rome. That's not a holy city. It's full of abominations and every imaginable filth. Well, we are told in the book of Revelation that Babylon is going to fall. And we see evidence of that happening right before our eyes, with all the perversion, child sexual abuse, homosexuality, and so on. But we look for another city whose foundation is God, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of God, out of heaven. In the 18th chapter, 17th and 18th chapters of Revelation, we see the harlot, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. We see that there is a woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. This is speaking of the Roman Catholic Church. Many people don't know about the Great Inquisition. They don't know how many Christians were killed at the hands of Roman Catholics. Well, it says all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Revelation 18. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Well, he tells us to... I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen. Welcome aboard, Ned Nangave. She said, it saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings who have committed of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thine and wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And saying, alas, alas, that great city, welcome aboard, Oscar Graves, that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. You know, someone has to be spiritually blind when they read this scripture. not to be able to see in their mind's eye, Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church. I want to read that again. Saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold, precious stones and pearls. Well, I'm glad to know that Revelation doesn't just end with the fall of Babylon. Because we see a great, great transition in Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Well, we're told that, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Wife hath made herself ready. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called on the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, the beast is going to be destroyed. Babylon is going to be destroyed. The Roman Catholic Church is going to be destroyed. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Welcome aboard, Troy Sharbrough. Good morning. Glad to have you with us this morning. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Well, what a wonderful, wonderful promise to his people. And he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. I'm in Revelation 22 now. Proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Well, I'm looking forward to that new Jerusalem. Welcome aboard, Freddie Redman. I'm looking forward to the time when we're ushered into the presence of God and we no longer have to contend with Babylon. We no longer have to contend with this evil world. You know, what a great gift we've been given, the gift of eternal life. What a great gift we've been given. You know, many say they would. Peter said the same thing and he denied Christ. When we come to the time when we might have to face persecution, will our response be the same as Peter? It is my belief from the study of Scripture and the reality of the times we are living in, which includes the radical homosexual agenda propagated not only by the homosexuals, but by the state and federal governments of the United States, that we as true Christians probably will face persecution. I mean, right today, Pete Buttigieg, I can't say his name, we have a flaming homosexual that's running for president of the United States. We need to remember that God alone is the only one we can look to that will be faithful to work in us to demonstrate the faith he has placed in us of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In and of ourselves, we can do absolutely nothing and most certainly compromise our testimony. We know this, and if we are honest, we must attest to the fact that we have failed in our testimony before others many, many times. How should we prepare for the upcoming persecutions that's going to happen to the Christians in America and throughout the world? We should study the Bible daily. And during our study, pray that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes to the truth of God's word. We should pray and ask God to protect us from the power of Satan, and that God would cause us to live a repentant life, and that he would cause us to repent and turn back to him, which he will do if we are one of his. We should fellowship with those who are committed to the same thing. We should pray that God would cause us to live our lives in the light of eternity and not be preoccupied with the trivial things of this world. We should constantly be reminded that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, we know what is coming upon this earth, and it's not good. But we know what is coming to us after this earth is destroyed. And it's good. It's all good. So when we get discouraged, let us look up, for our redemption is drawing near. And whatever we do all to the glory of God, whether it be making coffee, reading our Bible, or filling our car up with gas. We are his people, his blood-bought children, and this heritage shall never pass. Sometimes our daily tasks seem mundane, that's for sure, but God's people rest in the love of Christ. They are eternally secure. So remember, whatever you do and wherever you go, if you're one of God's sheep, he wants you to know that he will never leave you or forsake you, regardless of where you are or what task you're doing. His Holy Spirit will comfort you and always be wooing you back to the fold of his eternal love, having been given to him by his Father. His throne from up above. May the good Lord be with you today in a special way is my prayer. God bless. Have a great weekend, a blessed weekend.